Let us pray. Holy One, we pray that we can live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, have mercy upon us. Amen. I remember spending many happy moments with my family at West Lake in Prince Edward County in Eastern Ontario. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. It's kind of between Belleville and Trenton below. Every summer, my parents would rent the same cottage by the lake. It had a couple of bedrooms, no electricity, a Coleman camp stove, and propane lights. By today's standards, it was pretty primitive. One of my fondest memories were the contests we had to see who could skip stones the furthest with the most skips. The secret lay in picking just the right stone. It had to be a little flat, slightly curved, and smooth edges, which are ideal for skipping. There were thousands of stones. Each one had its own color, pattern, size, and shape. The thought of the ideal stones from a childhood memory triggered thoughts of young King David, who, when faced with the threat of an enemy army and their champion giant, did not choose a king's armor or sword, but went with what he knew best, his trusty old slingshot, and five smooth stones from a nearby brook or river or wadi. In Hebrew, a stone, Iban, is connected to the words father and mother, and the words brook or stream is Nachal, which is spelled Nun, which is a brook or stream, but its root, its basic root, means to inherit, to occupy, to bequeath, or to possess. In other words, David drew five very powerful weapons of the divine parents of the Israelites and from the water that promised victory. The five smooth stones David had in his pocket represent what David carried in his heart: faith, trust, courage, hope, and gratitude. He knew God would take care of him in his battle with Goliath because of his past experience with God when he took care of him in the situation he was facing. As disciples of Christ, we require those same five spiritual stones to overcome life's challenges. The first stone from which all the others are derived from is faith. The writer of Hebrew defines faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is the fuel of the Christian life. And the beauty of faith is we already have it as a free gift from God. The full measure of faith is already ours. It's simply the outworking of it that takes time. And what is born of God cannot die. It is eternal, which means that we never have to worry about losing faith. Faith is ours forever, freely available, always, and sufficient for any need. Faith may be ours to use, but it is of God. It is God's gift to us. We can rejoice that God's faith in us can never fail. Even if we lose sight of it or don't exercise it, that doesn't alter the absolute truth that it is still within us and always will be. Paul writes, "By grace we have been saved through faith, and that is not our own doing. It is a gift of God." Faith is trusting that God's mercy still rules, even when life strips all else away. David's faith increased his trust, the second stone in his battle with Goliath. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your works, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Most of us, actually, I think all of us, have faced disappointments, which have taught us that we can only depend upon ourselves. But living the life God has called us means unlearning that lesson. Instead, we have to rest in God's understanding And even in the midst of turmoil, God sticks with us and uses challenges to shape us. And when we understand that, our perspective completely flips. No longer do we see setbacks as failures. We see them as moments when God is working on us and in us. Trust is an awareness that life will continue to have meaning and beauty, even amidst the darkness and the suffering. And I know there are so many that are going through darkness and suffering. I know that. And that's why we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts. The third stone in our spiritual pouch is courage. The Hebrew word for courage is emet, which means to listen and repeat, and is further defined as a willingness to take action. The writer of Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens us. But since faith is a gift and lives within it, we can step out in trust and courage, encouraged and trusting that with God, all things are possible. When David agreed to fight the Philistine, he wasn't motivated by reward. He didn't set out to make a name for himself and earn respect. But unlike every Israelite man at the battlefront, including his own brothers, he was unafraid. He was filled with faith, lifted up by trust that gave him the courage to take action. Facing our fears is so much about perspective. What will we choose to see? Do we have faith to see what cannot be seen? For we live by faith, not by sight. The fourth stone is hope. Biblical hope is built on faith. Hope is the earnest anticipation that comes with believing something good. Hope is a confident expectation that naturally stems from faith. It is a peaceful assurance that something that hasn't happened yet will indeed happen. Hope must involve something that is yet unseen. It is faithful anticipation. Paul writes in Romans, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope is looking to the reality of the future. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope is looking to the reality of the future. When we find hope in God, we are led back to finding hope in our own capacity to build up a better world. And Christian hope is powerfully creative. Hope believes and expects new things. The fifth and final stone is gratitude. The Hebrew word for gratitude is harak hatof, which literally translates to recognizing the good. When we begin to recognize the good, even in small ways, it leads us to noticing the good in other areas of our lives. In Judaism, there is a tradition that you are to find 100 things a day to be thankful for. It starts with waking up, for breathing, for seeing a rainbow, for seeing at all. Gratitude affirms, and it has a way of multiplying. As we profess gratitude, the more reasons we find to be thankful. Gratitude evokes and inspires a response. It motivates us to appreciate what we have today and to put sincere effort into making the most of any situation. And gratitude awakens us to value each day that we are given and live with appreciation. Even in the darkest season of our life, we can praise God for the gift of salvation, the hope of eternal life. God is our creator and has given us all the things in our life, including our life itself. Gratitude helps us stay strong. It reminds us of our life as disciples of Jesus Christ and helps us in worship. And we are grateful for our Abba in heaven, who is so full of love for and provides all that we need for an abundant and eternal life. And we are grateful for Jesus, who leads us in a perfect path and has demonstrated how we are to live, think, and to say. And we are grateful for the Holy Spirit, who empowers and purifies. The Spirit's presence in life enables our understanding of Scripture, prayer, and empowers us to make a difference in the lives of countless others. Faith, trust, courage, hope, and gratitude. Without faith, it's hard to see good in our difficulties, hard to trust and be courageous, and difficult to have hope, to be grateful in every situation, and to give thanks even in the rough, hard times. We need to keep a picture in our minds of opening our arms and falling into grace. Falling into grace, that is what we do. Every day is manna. Every day is communion. Every day we fall into the arms of a loving God whose desire is an abundant life. And we have been set free to love, free to serve, free to lift another up, because that is who God is. And where those things happen, and God is there. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. God of the living word, give us faith to receive your message, faith to know what it means, and courage to put it into practice. In the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. Amen.